Good morning, McFarland. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor here, and I am so glad to be worshiping with you today where we proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please let us know that you are here by registering your attendance, that the ushers are going to be passing out at this time. For those who are worshiping online, welcome. You can let us know that you are worshiping with us as well by clicking that button. If this happens to be your first time with us, we want to say welcome. There is a connect card in the pew in front of you, and if you will fill that out and then take it to our chapel, which is directly behind you, or for those in the balcony, below you after worship today, Pastor Rockford will be there, and we have a gift bag that we would like to give you as our way of saying thank you for being here. There are also prayer request cards in the pew in front of you, and so if any of you have a prayer request that you would like to share with us, we would love to know how we can pray for you and with you. We had a group of nearly 60 people leave yesterday morning for our spring break mission trip in South Texas. This is the first time that we have done a spring break mission trip beyond Oklahoma since 2019. And so we are so excited to have this group going this week to reconnect with our partners in South Texas. And so we just ask that you would keep them in your prayers and also pray that all of those who they encounter, who they are working with, will experience God's love through their presence with them this week. You may have also read an email that went out late last week with the notification that our general conference, the worldwide conference of the United Methodist Church, has been postponed until 2024. And you may be wondering what this means for McFarland. Well, for McFarland, it means that nothing has changed. Our mission continues to be that we are changing lives that change the world, and we are going to continue to focus on doing that through worship, discipleship, mission, and care. We are going to do all that we can to serve God in this place and this community, united in our mission together. But we do know that you might still have some questions, and so we would invite anyone who would like to stay after worship today to come down here towards the front. Our general conference guidance team members will be here to take any of your questions and answer them to the best of our ability. And so please stay after worship if you have any questions. And of course, we have been just glued to our television screens and our news outlets, continuing to witness what is happening in the Ukraine. And some of you have asked about ways to help, and so we want you to know that our United Methodist Committee on Relief, which is a worldwide organization that is often a first responder in places of disaster, they have set up a special fund to help with relief in the Ukraine, and all of your offering, 100% of any donation that you make to that will go to the people of Ukraine and the efforts there. You can go on our website, you can go on our app and give to that item. You can also write a check out to McFarland with Ukraine in the memo, and we will make sure that all of your donation gets to UMCOR, our United Methodist Committee on Relief. Today is going to be a wonderful day of worship, and so let's begin by standing and opening our hymnals now to number 467 as we sing together, Trust and Obey.
Thank you. join me in the affirmation of faith. God leads and we follow, knowing that God promises to go before us and be with us. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. God speaks and we follow God's commands, knowing that God's promises are good. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. God calls us and we follow God's path, knowing that God promises to provide. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. God sacrifices for us and we sacrifice for God, knowing that God's unfailing love is promised to us through Jesus. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. For these reasons, it is through Christ that we say yes and amen to the glory of God. For our lives and our ministry, we are standing on the promises of God.
Let us pray together. In the strength of Jesus' name and the way he lived, faithful to his mission, and the way he died and the way he lives in us, we come seeking the power that makes us new, O God, our Creator. You are life, the source and power that sustains all that exists. We are dust and ashes, animated in time, made whole and beautiful by your grace, and filled with your Spirit. We praise you and recognize the majesty and beauty of your holy and enduring love. And when, because of our weakness, we have been inadequate for our task in life, forgive us. When, because of the strength of our will, we have discarded our task for lesser satisfactions, forgive us. For the pardon we receive, we are most grateful. Encourage us, O Lord, provoke us even to trust you with our lives, with all that we have, and with our fears of loss. Transform our living so that we can transform our world. Make us agents of your new creation, even as we enjoy the benefits of living the new life of freedom in Christ. And now for friends and family, for neighbors, and for our world in need of your power for living, we pray. And our hearts break and our minds spin as we watch the destruction and death falling upon the people of Ukraine. We pray for it to end. We cry for mercy. We pray for grace. We pray as Jesus taught us together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn number 462, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," 462.
Thank you to all of you, church, for your faithful and perennial support of our mission and ministry together. And guests, today I want to say thank you for indulging us again this week as we talk about some funding needs for our facilities as a part of what we have launched as Standing on the Promises, Securing the Next Century. Details of the project, of course, are in the book that was sent out, and if you don't have one, we have copies here for you. You can pick one up out at the desk in the hallway, and we're glad for you to do that. Also, the details are in a video that we showed in worship last Sunday, and if you weren't here, you can find that on our YouTube channel, McFarland's YouTube channel, or just go to our website and you'll find online worship there. You can also go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and scroll down and you'll find Standing on Our Promises and that initiating video that gives you information. Our Lenten study is also in here. There's studies for Sunday school classes and groups and for individuals and links to videos that go along with that. So we hope you'll engage as we all learn together how we can be formed as good disciples and stewards together. I want you to know that I believe that for decades to come, McFarland will be a high-impact, unified, thriving church filled with great relationships, sharing the good news of God's love in Christ and changing lives that change the world as we make disciples of Jesus Christ. But church, we do have some facilities and mechanical systems challenges that, if not fixed, will distract and diminish our vision. And so we have heating and air conditioning and replacement of old plumbing and electrical, fire safety protection, a dated elevator as part of fire safety, air quality control, and of course, the replacement of the small old house for our food pantry and emerging ministries. So really, it's true that now is the time for us to take concerted action to do what we can to secure the next century of vital ministry in this place. Joe and Beverly Sanders have been around for a while. They are very faithful. They are experts in the history of our church. And they also believe that now is the time for us to act to secure the next century. Let's listen to them as they share out of their experience.
It's alive. It's a living church. It's growing. It's changing, expanding, moving with the times, and it's adjusting all the time to whatever situation there is. My actually memories of McFarland begin in the 1940s. Came here as a child to a vacation Bible school in the early 1940s. My mother and father transferred their membership to the church here in about 1946, I believe it was.
2 years later, this young lady showed up at Worcester Foundation. And so from there on, we went on and got married here at McFarland.
I stayed here in Norman with my children and finished college while he went overseas for the first time.
I retired in 1976, and I said, okay, honey, I said, you followed me around for 20 years, where you want to spend the next 20? And she says, Norman. And so we came back and we joined the church.
I think one of the things that makes McFarland such an easy place to belong and to feel like you really belong here is the small groups. There are so many. You've got a Sunday school class, you've got United Methodist Women, United Methodist Men, you've got, over the years we have belonged to so many different committees that were very, very active in different ways that the committee itself became like a little family.
I had a lot of free time and I got really involved with the Methodist Men. But one of the things that we did, we set up a fund where people could donate to it and it would be used by the Methodist Men then. And I would like to say that there were many, many things that we did, including building a house for a gentleman out in the country out here that was living in a trailer that had holes in it. We did that because of McFarland. It has really kept me being a real Christian, I think. McFarland programs have been leaders here. Those things, to me, are so important because they involve other people. Sometimes it's because of that we wind up with people that actually become members.
We both love the story of Gilbert Smith, who was teacher of the Sunday school class that was responsible for getting the church built and getting it built here on this corner. Smith and his Sunday school class had decided that this corner right here at Apache and University Boulevard was the place, and his reason for it was, he said, you can stand on that corner and you can look straight up the street that way and you can see the administration building of the college. And if you go up to that other end, you can stand down there and you can look all the way down and see this corner where the church will be. He said, the two most important buildings in a student's life, their college and their church. It says right there on that plaque at the back of our sanctuary, this church was built for the youth of Oklahoma. That to me is our hope for the future, that as long as we continue to consider ourselves for the youth and the young people and being a living and growing program, that's what's going to keep McFarland going. You know, anytime you mention McFarland to somebody out and about that doesn't go to McFarland, that one thing they do know about them is their food pantry. Started in a room up here on the third floor, just about big enough for about three or four people to work around. I guess after that they moved on out to the Aldersgate House and we see how it's developed. And then we have some pictures of them working out of the tent down here during the pandemic. It has grown and it has developed.
There were a lot of people who said, well, we don't really need to expand. And we said, yes, we do need to. We need to believe and step out.
It's going to be such a bonus to the ability to work on these different things that we're already doing and doing very well. But it's going to make it so much easier to do that.
I am asking of you, church, what I'm asking of myself, that we prepare ourselves to make commitments over these weeks of Lent. Elizabeth and I are praying and thinking and planning ourselves, and so to encourage us and to lead us, I just want to let you know that we're planning to make some sacrifices, some home improvements that we would have done in this season we'll put off so that we can be a part of giving as God has blessed us in a sacrificial way. And I encourage you to think also and pray about what you can do as a part of this. I don't say that to brag. I even don't even really want to say that. And yet I think it's important that you know that as a pastor who's not quite been here 2 years, I'm in for this because Norman needs this church here 20 years from now, 30 years, 50 years, 97 years from now. We need to be here and be strong. This commitment card is a tangible expression of our faith. And I hope you're using this card, if you don't have one, we have one for you, to pray as a prayer prompt, and that you will plan at some point before April 10th, after God has led you and you've discerned what it is that God wants you to do, and to complete this card and make it a part of your gift to the church. I'm not asking you to make a commitment today, of course, but to commit to letting God speak to you during this time. And so we can give our gifts today in all the ways we usually do, in the offering or online. You can give through our website or app, of course, and God will be faithful. God provides. All of God's promises find a yes in Jesus Christ. May God bless this offering.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. Hear these words. He said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So you may notice that each week we have different scripture readers reading our scripture for us. We have invited the parents of our acolytes and our confirmands to read the scripture for us during this season of Lent. So I want to thank Brooke for reading our scripture today, and also to thank Jacob and Addie for serving as our acolytes today. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for your word and for the way that you continue to speak to us today. God, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to be fully present in this moment so that we might hear your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I first want to say that I am so grateful to Joe and Beverly Sanders and all of those that we have seen or we will see on these videos. I want to thank them for sharing their hearts and the ways that God is changing lives through McFarland. If you don't know, Joe and Beverly maintain all of the historical records and archives of McFarland, and they add to them about our current ministries and everything that is happening here. And not only are they long-time members, multi-generational members, and a wealth of knowledge about this church, they are both faithful servants who love God and who love God's people, and I feel really blessed to get to learn from them and to serve with them. And I want to start by just sharing a little bit more about one of the stories that Beverly mentioned in the video, the story about how McFarland came to be located here on this corner of University and Apache. And I want to share more about the story because it's a really great story about how Methodists in Norman came together in what was a very difficult time in our country's history, trusting God and believing in the future of this church and what God was doing. And so I'm going to start a little bit further back than Professor Gilbert at OU. During the land run in Oklahoma in 1889, there were two separate Methodist denominations who ran in the land run and staked their claim in Norman for a place where they would build a church and where they would gather together as the community to worship God. And so two main denominations at that time, the Methodist Episcopal Church, the Methodist Episcopal Church South, they both had representatives who ran on that day in April and claimed their spot for a church. They built their churches diagonally across the street from each other, and it didn't take long for those churches to get established and to grow. We at McFarland are inheritors of both of those churches, which eventually would come back together as one church. But fast forward from the land run, about 30 years during World War I. And Methodists and the people of Norman anticipated that there would be young veterans returning home from the war who would be looking for a place to settle and to study. And they knew that the University of Oklahoma would be a place for those veterans to come. And so the Methodist Episcopal Church South, one of those churches, could see all of this growth that was happening in Norman. And in their church at that time, they were outgrowing their building. And so they knew that they needed to do something about that. And so the leadership of the church thought, wouldn't it be great to be closer to the university and to serve all of those young people who were coming to Norman to study? And it was around that same time that Gilbert Smith, the person that Beverly mentioned on our video, he was an ordained Methodist minister and a sociology professor at OU. He was leading a Sunday school class for students on Sunday mornings. And so around 1916, again, still during the war, he had around 100 students in his Bible study. And I think he must have been an amazing teacher to have 100 students on Sunday mornings in his Bible study. And they were talking in their class about the need for a new church where they could gather that was close to the university. And like Beverly said in the video, this spot was vacant right here on the corner of University and Apache, and it seemed like a great place to build a new church because it was close to campus, and when you looked south from here, you could see clearly that north entrance of OU and that administration building. And so do you know what that group of 100 college students did in 1916? They raised $5,000 to purchase the two lots on this corner. Now, I am no financial expert, but I Googled what $5,000 in 1916 is today, and Google said that was about $130,000. Can you imagine a Sunday school class of 100 people raising what today would be $130,000 to buy land to build a church? That is incredible. Even if the number is half of that, that is incredible. And so in the midst of their conversations and raising money, and then in the midst of the church leaders of the Methodist Episcopal Church South talking about building new church, it was like God was preparing the way for this to happen, for this building to be built. And those groups got together, they joined their ideas together, and they started to dream about how to make this a reality. And they started talking about how everyone was going to have to do their part to give. But they were also thinking about who might be willing to make a significant commitment to lead the way in building this new building. And wouldn't you know, there was this young woman in Professor Smith's Sunday school class who spoke up, remembering this family who had lived in Norman about 30 years before, and she said, "You know, I think Mr. and Mrs. McFarlane might be interested in giving to this building. They have a great love for the Methodist Church because when they lived in Norman, they received a lot of love and care when their infant son passed away." And so you probably know the rest of the story. That idea led to the pastors and the leaders of the church going to visit the McFarlanes and asking them, even though they were not members of the church in Norman at the time, had never been members of the church, didn't even live in Norman, went to ask them to consider what role they might play in building God's church in Norman. so that as our plaque says, so that whomsoever should find it in his or her heart to worship here would come to know God's love and salvation and grow in their faith. And so here we are today. We are in McFarland Memorial United Methodist Church, all because of the faithfulness and the trust of those people 100 years ago, that belief in what God was capable of doing in the midst of World War I. And we are the beneficiaries of their faith and their trust and their sacrificial giving. And there are so many stories just like that one of people all throughout McFarland's history trusting God's promises and doing their part to make this a place where disciples of Jesus Christ live out their faith. And again, we might be tempted to think that life was maybe simpler back then without all of the stress and the uncertainty that we're experiencing now. We have to remember that McFarland was built having just come out of World War I, the pandemic of the Spanish flu, going into the Great Depression, experiencing the challenges eventually of a Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, inflation, the oil bust in the 1980s, and the housing market crash in the late 2000s. Did you know that McFarland paid off the debt for the new addition right around that time of the housing market crash? Now, financial challenges and concerns about what tomorrow will bring in our community and our world, for our families, and whether we can afford to be generous, these have been the concerns of the people of McFarland and for God's people from the very beginning. All throughout Scripture, we have stories of people of faith trusting in the promises of God. And these stories can teach and inspire us to cultivate within a belief that if they could trust then we can trust now. And though there are many families in Scripture who trusted the promises of God, I love the story of Abraham and Sarah. You know, Abraham was called by God to pick up all that he had and move his family to a new place that God would reveal to him once he was there. And God promised Abraham that when he arrived to that place that he would show him, that God would make him the father of many generations. And so Genesis 17 tells us that God says to Abraham, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of generations. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." And Abraham trusted. He did it. He picked up and went. And what's so powerful about this story of trusting is that even though Abraham and Sarah did what God told them, they still had doubts and worries and concerns. They struggled all along the way to trust that they would be okay, that they would make it to this land that God said he had for them, that they could make this huge commitment. And then God makes this other promise to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18, saying, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, oh, yes, you did laugh. Now, Sarah laughed at the absurdity of God's promise. She was thinking, that is impossible. How silly to even suggest that I could have a child or that God could make it happen. And yet, it happened. She gave birth to Isaac, and his name means laughter. And it's from that point on that God constantly tells every generation, be a part of what I am doing. You can trust me. Trust my promises. You might laugh and think this is ridiculous or silly, but once you are done laughing, trust me. And in our gospel reading for today, Jesus names our human tendency not to trust, but to worry about having enough. He names our fear of whether we're going to be okay from one day to the next, and our questioning if God is still faithful today. And Jesus tells the disciples and us not to be anxious about earthly things, that God takes care of the birds and the flowers of the field, and so God will take care of us too. But telling people in this day and age not to be anxious about anything is like telling people not to breathe anymore. You know, it's almost ridiculous. It's almost laughable. I mean, what would we do with ourselves if we didn't have to worry about anything? As human beings, we are anxious about everything, and if we aren't, then we have 24-hour news and color-coded threat levels that help us along. But why shouldn't we worry, right? Why shouldn't we worry with a global pandemic and inflation and war? How can we not worry? And yet disease and war and occupation and scarcity, they were all realities in Jesus' day too. We have to remember that Jesus wasn't a carefree bachelor living the good life on the sunny beach of the Sea of Galilee. And so when Jesus tells us that one of the prime values of the kingdom of God is that we should not be anxious because God takes care of us all, and that if we're in God's hands, the things we worry about are not worth worrying about, it's not a naive statement, but it's one that comes out of his own experience of threat and persecution and rejection. Jesus is not calling us to abandon our lives and to stop working and to stop planning and to stop caring and to stop or to empty our savings accounts and our 401ks because God's going to take care of all of that. That's not what he's telling us. He's not telling us not to be prudent, but he is naming the excessive worry and anxiety that comes when we misplace our trust. Jesus doesn't offer any easy answers. He really is offering us some questions to think about. He wants us to ask ourselves, is my trust first placed in God and what God can do? Or is trusting God somewhere down on the list? Is my trust really first placed in what I can do? What I can provide for me and for my family? And here's a similar question. Do I trust that I can make God and God's ministries my priority by giving generously and maybe even sacrificially, and I will be okay? Now, that is the question that we are asking you to consider for our Standing on the Promises campaign, and it's the question that my husband Carlos and I are considering as we pray about what commitment God is guiding us to make in securing McFarland's next 100 years. You know, as we've already heard, we have 100-year-old pipes and electrical wiring in this 1924 building. We have air conditioning and heating units that have served us well beyond their years. This building was built long before modern safety codes came into effect, and this area does not meet our current fire protection standards. And the Aldersgate House is no longer sufficient in meeting the needs of our food pantry, which is the largest food pantry in Cleveland County. And so now is the time to invest in McFarland, just as those people did 100 years ago, because our mission is the same, so that the youth of Norman and whomsoever should find it in his or her heart could worship here, could know God's love here, live out their faith here. You know, just picture this sanctuary full of people of all ages worshiping and praising God 10 and 20 and 50 and 100 years from now. Picture the hallways and classrooms in our children's and students' areas full of children learning that God loves them and that they are special to God 10 and 20 and 50 and 100 years from now. Picture the food pantry and the ministries of the Mission Center walking with people in need and offering hope and compassion to those who are struggling 10 and 20 and 50 and 100 years from now. To whom much is given, as Luke is going to say later in Luke chapter 12, much is expected. It is our turn to trust and believe what God can do. So during this season of Lent and standing on the promises, we might have a few reactions to this question about our commitment. You know, we might laugh like Sarah at the ridiculousness of what God is placing before us. Or we might worry, like the disciples did, whether we're going to have enough. Can we really raise enough money to restore this house of God? Do we have enough support? Do I have anything extra that I can actually give? Can I sacrifice and still be safe and secure? Now, these are great questions. And I realize that they are all real concerns, real fears. And so I ask us to remember what Jesus was telling his disciples, that faithfulness is not acting when there is certainty. If there is certainty, 100% certainty, then there is no need for faith. Faithfulness is trusting in the midst of uncertainty. Faithfulness is not just professing the promise, but it is trusting it and acting upon it. And we aren't saying that when we trust in God, there aren't going to be any challenges or doubts or concerns or fears. But as followers of Christ, we move forward in the midst of our doubts and our fears. We place our trust in God, believing that there is no challenge, no fear that God will not help us overcome. And so in our Lenten study and prayer guide that is found in that Standing on the Promises guidebook, we invite you in this moment and this week to boldly name in your hearts what the challenges and fears are in your life that might keep you from committing to being all in for securing McFarland's next century. And we invite you, rather than laughing or worrying about those things, that you would pray about them. That you would pray about where God is in your life, what God is doing to help you through those challenges and fears, and to ask God to guide you in how you can trust and stand on His promises. And so, whatever reasons you might have for being hesitant or for holding back, hear the word of God and Jesus encouraging you to say yes to God's promises and all that God can do. Because the truth is that we are that next generation. And God is asking us to trust His promises once again and to believe in what is possible. And so to that, let us say amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for your presence with us in the good times and in the difficult times. And God, we know that you have placed these plans before us. And so we ask you today and this week to help us and guide us in the midst of our fears and doubts and concerns to consider what it is that we might do to support your ministry in this place. And so, God, we lift all of that up to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, number 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 133.
As we go forth today, just a reminder, if you have questions about General Conference being postponed, you're welcome to stay here and we'll answer your questions. And I also want to let you know that if you are new, if you are visiting, Pastor Rockford is going to be in our chapel after worship. We have a gift bag that we would like to give you and invite you in there after worship. And now as we go forth today, would just invite you to pray about what God is leading you to do. To lift up those fears and concerns to Him, and just to trust that God will lead you through them. And so I ask you to go forth this week to invest not only in what you might do here in this place, but to invest in the lives of others by loving others, just the way that God has invested in loving you. And so go forth today in faith, in trust, and in peace. Amen.